If you missed the first part of the show, go back and listen to The Power of Sex Transmutation from Mitch Horowitz. You can do that if you're a Coast Insider, of course, or if you're, depending what time zone you're in, they will frequently rerun at least the first hour, if not the first 2 hours, of Coast to Coast and a lot of the affiliates around the country to make up the difference between when the show ends and when the morning shows begin on the local station. I want to address the question that got posed before the top of the hour about the Mandela effect. And I want to highlight a couple of points that the caller made. And then we'll get back to open lines. So use those numbers. And certainly if you want to continue this conversation, you can too on one of those lines. But he brought up a couple of things I just want to just quickly. He said this came up on Coast to Coast a little while ago, and when it was, the host seemed confused or didn't seem willing to go down this road. He mentioned that the Mandela effect, as he was defining it, was speaking to the idea of parallel dimensions, a multiverse, and that in one of them, you know, Kit Kat would be spelled with a hyphen between Kit and Cat, and then in another one it wouldn't. And so this is why people have false memories, which is what the original Mandela effect was all about. And I even double-checked that to make sure I have my definitions right. And yes, I mean, it is, there's a lot of research about the Mandela effect, so-called, because people became convinced that Nelson Mandela had died in prison in South Africa, forgetting, in fact, that he got out and became president of South Africa and didn't die until like 2013. So the Mandela effect speaks to the certainty that people have that their memory, although it be false, is true. And so there are sorts of different versions of that. And he wanted me to speak to this. So this is what I'll say. And this is an imperfect response, but it's what comes to mind. In defense of whoever that host was that called in, I think part of the problem here is we are expanding the definition of Mandela effect as though it is talking about a multiverse or parallel dimensions or however we want to look at that. I don't want to do that. I want to keep Mandela effect to mean what the Mandela effect was intended to mean. And I think there's a lot of research and a lot of very compelling concepts that come out of that research about the Mandela effect. I want to say, though, that it's interesting how the Mandela effect, the belief that, say, a logo, a Chevy logo, has existed in one form, but people swear that it was another Chevy logo at one point for a long time, but that never happened, that the Mandela effect informs the possibility of what we used to call matrix theory. And I think that's really what he's talking about, which is why I think the host may have been confused. So matrix theory, based on, you know, the movie, is that we live in a skin of time and that there is a real time and a real history that goes on underneath this, you know, this epidermis, this temporal epidermis that we live in that we think is real. And that every once in a while, a glitch happens in the matrix and we can break through and we can see what's really the machinations that are controlling our perception of what is real. And so I think that I still want to call that matrix theory. And the idea of, if there suddenly everybody was convinced that something had happened, that is more informative of matrix theory, that there's been a glitch in the matrix, than it is the Mandela effect. Because I don't think that those are the same thing. One is in relationship to the other, and that is a conversation I'd be willing to have anytime. I look forward to finding out whether anybody's doing anything on that, and if they are, we'll get him on the air on Coast to Coast. In the meantime, it's open lines, and that means you coming up next. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. All right, so much to get to in these open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And let's see, let's start off with Tom in the Bronx on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Tom?
Yes, how are you? I'd like to say that they talk about the Titanic being destroyed by not germs, bacteria. But years back, I remember them saying it was enzymes that live on the bottom of the ocean that could live in the cold water. When the oil went wild in the Caribbean, they what they did was they put these dispersants on the oil, and it took the oil down to the bottom where there were enzymes or maybe whatever you want to call bacteria that were unable to live on the bottom, and that's why the oil was never eaten. If they left it floating on the top of the water, they would have the enzymes that live on top of the water have the ability to eat at the oil and the products. Well, finding this bacteria or all these enzymes, I remember them saying it was enzymes in an article, and I took the article out and wrote Washington, D.C., that what they should do was to transplant these type of enzymes, or what they're saying now, bacteria, into the Caribbean on the bottom. If they start multiplying, they'd be able to eat the pollution on the bottom of the ocean and bring the ocean back to a healthy situation, which they, if they could do it, they should do it.
Well, I agree, except there, you know, we get into that whole concept too, though, of invasive species and consequences
I
that we sometimes
that
can't
too,
anticipate.
But,
yeah.
But the idea is, look at the tragedy.
Oh, I get
the
it.
Oil on the bottom of the, sure, of the Caribbean.
No, I know. I appreciate that. I mean, it's a great idea. I hope there's a way to know what would happen before we try it, and that it would actually work. But it's a great idea. Somebody somewhere, I hope, is working on some dissertation on that subject even as we speak. Dave is in Sarasota. Open lines on Coast to Coast. Dave?
Good morning, Ian.
Morning.
Not to suck up, but you are really good at this.
Oh, well, you're too kind, and I
how long, how long have you been? How long have you been broadcasting?
Since I was 14.
Oh my goodness! And may I ask your age?
Yeah, I'll be 60 coming up.
Oh, you sound like you're 30.
That's good. It's because I refuse
sound
to
like
grow
you're
up.
30.
But you know what? That's really that's nice of you to say that. But I tell you, you know, one thing I'll just say for everybody out there is that it never gets old for me. It just, I always feel like I'm 14 and I get to be on the radio again. I have the same feeling. It's like, yay, I get to crack a mic. It's a great joy in my life. But so what do you want to call? What do you got?
Well, I'm skimming through YouTube last night and I'm watching a movie about Barney and Betty Hill. The whole movie was on there about it. It was
right.
James Earl Jones. And it was fantastic.
It's not bad. Yeah, I remember that movie.
Yeah, and then I went over and I watched Fire in the Sky with about Travis Walton. I'd never seen this movie, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. I liked it. I think I'm almost positive I interviewed him, but again, it's been a long time. But I love that subject. It's a great book, too, all the different books on that subject. What about the movie spoke to you this time?
It just, after watching the movie, I went through YouTube and I watched interviews with Travis Walton and
right.
Feeling like absolutely they should redo the movie in Hollywood with somebody, you know, like a Steven Spielberg or somebody. But I believe the guy, you know.
Yeah.
Watching
you know,
interviews, I believe it.
Yeah, there's something about he was very sincere and he is very credible in that way. And I will say about the movie is I thought it was good for its time, but I agree with you. And I wouldn't put it in the hands of Steven Spielberg, I'm afraid, because he'd make it too friendly. And I think it's the true horror of it, you know, that if we accept everything that Travis Walton said is true, then it's such a nightmare. And that movie needs to be much more of the nightmare that it could be, I think. And I don't know who's the best one for that these days. Who's doing the best nightmares? Maybe whoever it is that directed this new movie, Ready or Not. Maybe that's the hot new horror director out there. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. Thanks for the kind words. Scott is in Houston on Coast to Coast AM. Scott?
How's it going?
Good. Where do you want to take us?
Well, I was going to talk to you about your guest tonight, and I wish I could have actually gotten his take on this, but there's actually discussions about pro athletes who will remain abstinent during the season, especially in football, that it enhances their performance.
Well, I haven't heard about abstinence for the whole season. What I heard is there's a tradition among athletes to abstain from sex the night before the game, or the day before a big game. That's been tied to the sort of tantric idea of the release of energy. But I think it's spoken of mostly as a physical kind of power, you know, that they're giving up their mojo, they're giving up that ability to hit that ball just, you know, 2 feet further. And what Mitch Horowitz is going for and what the transmutation theory suggests is this is a procreative transference, that you're taking something which would be an urge to procreate and you're going to use it to create something else. And that you're going to use your energy in that way. I see your parallel, but I think one is event-based and the other is lifestyle-based. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I understand that. But I have heard that whole seasons, though, there are some NFL quarterbacks, and just because I'm not certain, I won't mention the names. it has been discussed that they feel that it just, as you said, it'll take something away. But still, I think it's channeling an energy there.
Well, I know as a Bears fan that there was a lot of comments about Rodgers and his problems in Green Bay being tied to the fact that he was dating all these hot Hollywood women, and that there were, on some of the Packer blogs, people were making connections between, you know, his girlfriend du jour and his terrible performance the next day on the field. I don't know if that's fair, but I, you know, as a Bears fan, I thought it was funny anyway. All right, let me go to John in Sodak on Coast to Coast AM on a wild card line. John? Hey, John, are you with us still?
South Dakota?
Well, I said Sodak. We can be nerdy and call it South Dakota, but I thought we were going to be hit.
Well, actually, yeah, this is Don.
Oh, it said John up on my screen. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. But, hey, listen, real quick, a quick note on parallel universe or alternate dimension, and that'll segue into the reason for my call, which is actually I don't want to call it a praise report, but an interesting follow-up with you personally. I was a first-time caller about a week ago, spoke to you. And I'm sorry to say I don't remember who the guest was that night, but I called about the Big Bang Theory. And prior to my call, a caller was talking about the loss of a loved one he had and something interesting that had something to do with alternate dimensions or parallel universes.
Right.
And I said, hey, wow, that's kind of weird, because that night it was a segue into the reason I called in the Big Bang Theory. But I had mentioned my sister had committed suicide. Uh-huh. And a few months back, actually it was about a year ago, the number 3, and then when I wasn't paying attention to that, the number 33. And then all of a sudden, oddly, the number 333, as if, Donnie, you're not listening. Pay attention, doggone it.
Right.
It just started overwhelming me. And clearly, it's some kind of a sign. I need to look into it or ask somebody that deals in these types of things. But I mentioned it to you quickly. And do you remember the movie Ghost with Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg?
I like that movie. I've seen it a couple of times.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. Patrick Swayze was departed, and he was yelling at Demi Moore, I'm right here, I'm right here. And she could sense he was, like, there, but she couldn't hear him. And then, of course, Whoopi came in as the median, and blah, blah, blah. We all know the rest of the story. So I feel like the 33 has something to do with my sister, and this is the segue into the reason for tonight's call. Second-time caller, and I get you. You had asked me, when I mentioned that, you said, have you ever asked your sister?
Yeah,
and I thought, well, that's kind of a weird question. But anyway, let me go into the Big Bang Theory. So I brushed it off and segued into the Big Bang Theory that night. So tonight I'm listening, and you mentioned the Mandela Effect and alternate universe. You know what? Let me try to call. If I get through, I got to share this with Ian personally.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I pulled over 5 minutes later, truck driver, and when you had said that. And it got me thinking, because she committed suicide, and I was having a moment, you know. And I pulled the truck over in the middle. If you look at a map between I-94 and I-90 in North Dakota and Wyoming, there's nothing.
Pitch yeah.
black.
Yeah, I believe you. I don't have to look at a map. I totally believe you.
I pulled over and I turned off the motor and I took a little walk and I, you know, my night vision adjusted and I looked up and of course you can see the Milky Way and every star in it.
Right.
And I stood there taking your advice and I focused on one little star. And imagine if you would, standing on the road and looking a quarter mile away, somebody used an old-fashioned flash bulb and took a photo of somebody and the flash went off. Mm-hmm. Now take that line, that flash, a quarter of a mile away, and sure. put it up into the sky and use that flash on that one little star. At the mm-hmm. moment I looked at that star and said, well, how about it, Lori? Give me a sign.
Ugh.
I don't know what a supernova looks like with the naked eye, but by golly, doggone it, that little star flashed as if it were a flash bulb a quarter mile away. That quickly and vanished and was gone. And I just said, kind of said a few words to myself.
Yeah,
I
really.
Wrote it off as bizarre, an anomaly, alternate dimension, and figured someday if I get a chance, the whole world listening to this show, I have to share that story with you. It was amazing. And in a way, thank you for telling me to do that because I had a moment and I believe
in that. Now, what do you think it means? Now, what do you think that means?
I have no idea, but it clearly has something to do. Because when I asked to be more detailed, I didn't want to get long-winded with the statement. But I said, okay, Lori, this 333, what does it mean? Is that you? Are you trying to tell me something? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gotten to the point, Ian, where I see things in series of threes. I see other numbers like 444, three, sets of three. It's getting to the point where I seriously need to ask somebody, what does this mean? And, you're sort of like the catalyst.
Well, I'll tell you what I know about it. I'll tell you what I know about three, okay? That three is, in many ways, the most special number. In biblical numerology, which is not something I'm an expert on, but I come across it a lot. In fact, I just came across this when I was finishing this Moses book I was working on. This is a number that stands for completeness, for wholeness. And in that way, it stands for both. So it's not a number that's split. So it stands for justice and mercy, both at the same time. So that's a wholeness, right? It stands for, morality. It stands for, leadership. And so the number three is one of, as biblical numerology goes, that's why you see it a lot, right? Jesus was 33 at the crucifixion. It's why the ministry lasted 3 years. It's why the Holy Trinity is three. I mean, three is a repeating number, like three and seven. And whenever you see multiples of any of those, then it's a way of saying really, really a lot. So this came up because there's a particular death that happens in the Bible where it says 3,000 people were killed. And it's not, most people believe, it's not intended to be an exact number. It's intended, whenever you see the word, whenever you see 1,000, just think a lot. And if you see 3,000, it's really, really a lot. So it's just that kind of multiplication. So that maybe is what, in relating that to you and to your sister, It's a tribute to her, and to who she was, and the fact that you keep seeing it means that you keep seeing her, and what she meant to you, and what she meant to the people in your family and your life, and the loss of her physically doesn't mean you ever lost her and her specialness and her wholeness. And when you looked up to the stars to ask to see a sign, she gave it to you. And I think, gosh, we should all be that lucky tonight. It was your lucky star. We'll get to you coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. I got one open line for you to take. Otherwise, they're filling up fast. And a lot of people are going to jump in on this Mandela effect thing. Cool. I like the way that topic got started. It's what Open Lines is all about. Coming up tomorrow night, don't miss it. First hour, David Zucker famous for movies like, but not limited to, Airplane and the Police Squad and all of those sequels and variations. But also then Rich Cohen, the author of The Last Pirate, a book that's about the transition from piracy into gangs as we know it, mobsters. The very first evidence of a mobster, as we would think of them today, in New York. It's a great story coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. I'm just penning a quick response to Chris Torres on Twitter. Sorry. At Deacon Punnett. Well, I'll finish it later. I'll finish after I get off the air. But always like to hear from you all, if we can, in social media. Best place to do that. Worst place to do that, by the way, is trying to track me down on some sort of snail mail address or whatever. Don't do that. And, yeah, just, you know, it's join social media. Join the rest of us. I look forward to hearing from you. And, you know, as everybody civil, it's always good to hear even contrasting opinions. Given everybody being civil, we'll go to James in Leavenworth, Texas, on Coast to Coast AM. James, wildcard line.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. All right. Hello. Yes, I endorse that. Hello. I'll also go with goodbye because I don't know where it's going on. Joey is in Long Beach on Coast to Coast AM on a wild card line. Joe?
Hello. I very much enjoy your work.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I have a great time.
To begin, I've had a substantial number of experiences with dimensional jumping, but none of them were ever really intended. I noticed certain qualities that would follow each one, but the most dramatic was the one that destroyed my family.
Oh.
And, oh, yeah, believe me, I can talk about it now. I'm in my 60s. This happened a long time ago. But we had a friend of the family who, you know, I always felt he was drawn to my wife, but it wasn't anything that really threatened me. One particular night, because he was a friend, you know, he said, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. Can I stop by? And we were a little tired, and I said to my wife, you know, you want to go over? I mean, he's around. She goes, well, not really, but if he's around. Something inside me said, do not have him over. Not that night. Any other night, not that night. I thought I was paranoid. So I thought about it, and I go, okay, well, you know, come on over. So we're sitting in the house after about an hour, and we're just talking, and we're in like a triangle situation, you know, position, one chair facing the other two, and et cetera. And all of a sudden, and I cannot explain what it felt like other than there was a snap I heard in my head, you know, like a fingernail snapping, and the room just went boom, upside down. It like spun, but nothing happened, nothing moved. I didn't spin, but yet it seemed so, and I heard in my head my own voice saying to me, oh, my God, what just happened? You just lost your wife. And I was freaked. But
what does that mean? Was she still in the room?
Yeah. That was the shift. Now the manifestation followed. Over the next 2 days, I didn't recognize who she was. She changed her manner of dress, clothing, her name, and she left me and three kids. And she was very cavalier about it. But as my kids grew older, it was like a different reality, like my memory of certain things. And I'm a writer. I've got solid memory, but my memory of things was different than my children's memory of the same events over, you know, that happened in that period. And my friends would, you know, bear it out that I was correct, but it seemed like I would be thinking when we'd have discussions, well, that's not what I saw, you know, et cetera. So the reality seemed to shift, and I've, you know.
But wait, if something happened with your wife in a different dimension, did your friends remain the same?
No. Well, most of them are my close ones, but that person and my wife just became a whole nother dimensional, I mean, a whole nother relationship. I mean, she was gone. But okay. Her personality, I didn't know.
No, I got that. I'm just talking about your friends, though. I was trying to find a way. So the friends that you had at work or friends you had in the neighborhood, they were all different too, or were they all
no,
the same?
No, but they said that they don't understand. When they had encounters with my ex, they would say, "We don't know who she is." It's as if she, I'm quoting now, as if she shed her skin and became someone else.
Okay, but stop. Then maybe she's the one that had the interdimensional experience, right?
I don't know. I couldn't answer. I thought we all would have, because I felt something in my body.
Maybe that's the whole point, is that you were fine. You stayed the same. You didn't change. Your friends didn't change. Your daughter, your kids didn't change. Your wife changed.
But
so
my
maybe
kids have a different recollection of very clear events that has occurred, you know, like something very simple, like one day we're out doing something with the dog. What did you see? And what I saw would be different than they may report. And they would say, no, that's not what I saw. I mean, it was as if there was a partial shift with my children.
Okay. That's very interesting. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. Compelling idea. Jason is in Pennsylvania on a wild card line on Coast to Coast on the Mandela Effect. Jason?
Taking my call.
Yeah.
So my biggest thing that I've ever asked anybody out there in the universe around my around this area anyway is how many people were in the car when JFK got shot? Everybody says four. I remember four. It's hard to remember four now because I've seen pictures of six. But that's the number one thing I go to with the Mandela effect that you were talking about earlier. And the older people than I do, like that I am, I ask, how many people do you remember, like, when JFK got shot? They said, yeah. I said, how many people were in the car? Nobody remembers that middle row of people. And if you go on Google right now and search JFK, there's six people in the car. And it is so strange to me because that is not what I grew up knowing. And now it is a fact. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's right. One part of the Mandela effect that has influenced my life.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I'm a little worried about, though, is that I run into this in a different way. Let me and help me relate this to what you're saying.
Yeah.
People will say to me, they'll say, "You should really do this on the air, and you should really have this guest on." And you should really talk to this author. And I say, oh, well, we did. And I've never heard that. I've never heard that. And so what they experience somehow becomes true.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't experience it, it must be true for everybody that it didn't happen.
Well, what I'm saying to you is I've watched, like, as a kid growing up, I was born in 1985. I don't know how old you are, Ian.
Right. Yeah.
1985.
Okay.
I was not alive for JFK.
Right.
I heard about the moon race. I heard about Vietnam. My grandfather was in Vietnam.
Sure.
And I see these videos. I see these videos. And then I see JFK get assassinated. I hear about the grassy knoll. I hear about the conspiracy. But the entire time, there's four people in the car.
Wait. But stop. Because part of what this is what I'm getting at is, yes, you say that, but that, you know what that would mean if four people are in the car? Is it in your memory?
I'm wrong. I'm living in some sort of cloud.
No. If there were only four people in the car, that meant Governor Connolly's wife was driving.
Well, this is what
that's what you have to say. Is your whole life you thought Governor Connolly's wife was driving the car?
What I'm saying is I never seen the middle part partition.
No, it's not a middle part. It's the front part. So the middle part is where
I've seen the driver. I've seen the guy in the front to the passenger in the passenger seat.
And you never saw Governor Connolly and his wife?
I don't remember seeing that my entire life. I see a guy get shot in the face and hold his neck. And then I see a guy in the front lean over.
Have you ever heard about driving, and I see
Jackie jumping on the back of the car.
I get that.
All I see.
I understand
for a long time. And
I understand that. But have you never heard of the magic bullet theory?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, the magic bullet theory all had to do with Connolly.
Goes down to the leg, goes down, you know, goes up through the guy in front of him.
Yeah, but that guy in front of him was Governor Connolly. So
yeah, and but I'm saying when I've grown up seeing pictures, seeing video, I've never seen six people in that car. I've only seen four.
So what is that evidence of for you?
I don't know.
I just think you were just not observant.
either I'm stupidly not seeing the whole picture, I've seen the wrong things in life, or things have actually changed because, you know, sir.
No. And I appreciate that. And I think we found the right tone on that. And I'm sorry. But so a part of what I'm getting at is, and I think it's interesting to focus on the four people because that's actually how the car is designed. So the car is designed, that particular Continental was designed that you would focus on the four people. They were on display. And the two people in the front, in the very front row, kind of jammed in there toward the front of the car, they're not on display. So that's why you focused on them. You were supposed to. That was the car was, and the reason why they had the bulletproof top off and everything was so that everybody could wave and see the governor and his wife and Kennedy and Jackie. And so, yeah, that's why you saw it. That's what you were supposed to see. But it's an interesting idea, and I appreciate especially the idea of what you're saying about how old you were when you first started becoming aware of that. Laura, east of the Rockies, is in Maine on Coast to Coast AM. Laura?
Hey, and how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. I wanted to, I didn't get to hear your guest, but I heard some of the callers call in, so I kind of got a gist. As far as being, you talk about the energy being released during sex. I don't believe it's released. It's released if it's between two humans. It's taken if it's a human and a demon. Through my philosophy and my experiences, 40 years of alcoholism, I started having sex at 13. Through therapy, I realized I drank because I didn't want to have sex. I believe I didn't want it to have taken from me as God gave some people up to demons. I don't know if you believe in that.
Why would God give you up to a demon?
I believe because I've always been around the number three constantly. I believe because there's those that are chosen that have to give them a second chance.
Give the demons
a second chance so they can come back to God, and he chooses these people so they can, you know. And unfortunately, I believe the ones that I've been with, they failed, at least with me. So it really depends on who you're with. You go back to the garden. I used to be in the Bible for hours. I no longer do that, but as you know the word, it'll come up if things are introduced to you, and certain scriptures will come up. And the one that I mostly think of is not only just being given up to the demons, but also the word counterfeit.
Okay.
The counterfeit always comes to mind when I think about the Bible, and that's what I believe. See, it was be given to us for procreation. The demons came into the garden and said, "Hey, no, don't! I'll show you what you can do with this." And
mention of demons in the Bible in the garden, and I said there's no mention of demons in the garden, and.
That's my interpretation.
Okay.
That's what my life experience has been and what I've done reading the Bible.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. I'm sorry that you had that horrible experience, though, and I hope that you're happier now and that that since you aren't drinking and everything, that you've got a new plumb line and a new star to steer by. It sounds like. You're making good decisions for yourself. I'll go to, is it Onion on Wildcard Line? I don't know how to pronounce that.
Hi.
Hi. O-N-Y-O-N?
Yes, that's me.
How do we pronounce that?
Onion.
Onion. Oh, I did get it right. Okay, good.
Yeah. The gentleman shared an experience about his sister committing suicide.
Yeah.
And asking for a sign.
Yep.
Well, I had a similar experience. Well, my sister died of negligent homicide.
Oh.
And and I was very angry. I was so angry and hurting that I said, God, I'm hurting so bad that I'm going to take people with me. I'm going to go down and I'm going to take people with me. I'm hurting so bad. And I said, you need to give me a sign that my sister's okay. Because I see ghosts and stuff, here and there, old ones, new ones. And I thought my sister would come to me, and she didn't. So I was like, okay, God, you give me a sign right now. You give me a rainbow. And man, the sky parted and two rainbows came out. Mm. I just dropped my knees and said, thank you,
That's an exclamation. You get a rainbow and an exclamation mark at the end of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like, and I could deny it. Literally, the sky parted and two huge rainbows went across the sky. I couldn't deny that. I said, well, my sister's okay. Thank you.
There you go. And more so, too. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Let me go to West of the Rockies, Wayne, on Coast to Coast AM. Wayne?
Good morning, and thank you. Thank you very much for playing the bumper music tonight. I was gone 42 years, lived 42 years. Perhaps one of the 10 greatest gospel singers, male gospel singers of all time, in my view.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Many people don't know that, after every performance that he would put on, he'd spend, two shows a night, I think. So 3 to 4 hours performing at least. He spent twice that much time afterwards and entertaining, all the celebrities on that with gospel music.
There you go.
And, people watch that DVD, the gospel music of Elvis Presley, right at the end of it, one of his best friends says, well, I didn't really like it that much at the time, but that's when I really got to know the real Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, really.
So,
and, Ian,
you got to be quick here.
I wanted to talk about a couple other things, but I don't think we have time.
We don't.
I mentioned sex and celibacy and that, and their important roles in human relationships. But the other one that comes up is slang. I've heard some slang words from a lot of people. People use slang all the time in place of swear words. I've heard two of those tonight. By one of the people that came on and one by you that I've heard previously, and perhaps you don't know you're doing it. I don't know.
No, I know I'm doing it every time. I have no problem using slang.
Well, God says that's the one thing even he holds Christians responsible for in heaven is taking his name in vain.
We're going to disagree on that because there's a very specific there's a very specific name that we're not supposed to use. So that's the name that the holy name that we're going to have to disagree on that. I'm sorry, but that's not what I don't use that name in vain. The name that we're not supposed to use, that name I don't use in vain. So I'm afraid we're going to have to disagree. The German word God or the German root word God, that I'll use that. But that's not what the Bible warns us against. So I'll stay with what the Bible says. And I love the Hebrew of that. I hope someday you'll look into that a little deeper. But that's where it's going to have to end. Couldn't get everybody on. Tried to. James called back, but I didn't have a chance to get back to him. This is what happens sometimes when people do long preambles before they actually get to the comment they want to make. So sorry about that. But thank you, too, for everybody else who will be sticking around for tomorrow night. You're going to love this show. I've already heard from some people on Twitter. It's going to be great. The last pirate, and then in the first hour, it's going to be James Zucker of Airplane and Police Squad. Listen, for everybody who's lost somebody in their life, you're in my prayers all the time. And you're not alone. So Deus te amat, and I do too.